2 Samuel chapter 6, part 4 of the Ark of the Covenant. It's back in the Old Testament. So if you remember from last week, the Philistines, they were the enemy. They had the Ark of God. They had captured God's throne and his presence. And after all kinds of disasters happened to them, you know that they got two calves, hooked up a cart, and put the ark on the cart, and sent the ark back to the Jewish people, back to Israel. And so the ark goes back, led by the two calves, back to Israel. And all the Israelites are excited. The ark returned. And last week, you remember, even though it returned and there were a lot of people there, they made the mistake of doing what? Looking in the ark. And I kind of actually have a theory now that they took the lid off and that the people passed by that looked into the ark. And there were other people that said, no, I'm not doing that. You took that lid. And then after everyone had passed by, then how many people died? 50,070 dropped dead. But I think the ones that like, oh no, I'm not looking in, I'm not going under, I'm trusting in the blood, they were left alive. Bottom line is, that was last week's sermon. 50,070 people died because of the Ark of God. Fear came on the Jewish people about this ark. And so they basically took it to some town and parked it and said, hey, God is too scary to deal with, and forgot about it, just ignored it for 100 years. Now we're at 2 Samuel chapter 6. 100 years has gone by, and the ark has been neglected. David is now king, and he decides, you know what? I think we should bring the Ark of the Covenant. Let's go find it, and let's bring it to Jerusalem. So for those that aren't familiar, this is what the Ark of the Covenant looks like. It was a chest, and inside was the Ten Commandments. And that's two cherubim, two angel-like beings that were carved in gold. And that is God's glory. That was his earthly throne. And so God's glory was between the cherubim. And so this is what David says, let's go find the ark and let's bring it to Jerusalem. So I'm going to read this whole section. So starting in chapter 6, verse 1 of 2 Samuel. David again brought together out of Israel chosen men, 30,000 in all. He and all his men set out from Bala of Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim that are on the ark. They set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and, I want to say Ohio, okay? Uzzah and Ohio, maybe it's Ohio, but Ohio and Ohio, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart with the ark of God on it. And Ohio was walking in front of it. David and the whole house of Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord, with songs and with harps, lyres, tambourines, sistrums, and cymbals. Now, I knew all these instruments except for sistrums. And here's a sistrum. It's like a big rattle. In fact, here's an Egyptian rattling a sistrum. Okay? So, they're celebrating, worshiping. Verse 6. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out and took hold of the ark of God because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. Therefore, God struck him down, and he died there beside the ark of God. Then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah, and to this day, that place is called Perez Uzzah. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how can the ark of the Lord ever come to me? He was not willing to take the ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for 3 months. And the Lord blessed him and his entire household. Now King David was told, the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom in everything he has because of the ark of God. So David went down and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all of his might, while he and the entire house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpet. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, David's wife, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. I'm going to jump to verse 20. David gets home. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, his wife, came out to meet him and said, how the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would. David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor. And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. So I see like there's 3 different ways that people worship or don't worship. You've got Uzzah, who worshiped God irreverently because he didn't know the scriptures. You always have to worship the God according to what we worship, the God of the Bible, of the Word. So we have someone who worshiped God irreverently and was struck dead. Then you have David, who worships God with all of his might. And then you have Michal, who despises to see people worshiping God, because she represents dignified religion. So let's talk about Uzzah for a second here. And there's Uzzah. There's some artist's rendition of Uzzah dead at the Ark of God. How many of you remember this magazine? How many have never seen this magazine in your life? You were deprived. I remember this magazine. You can still get it. That's amazing. We didn't get it, but at every dentist's office, doctor office, I couldn't wait to go to play the things. And there would, inside was a picture, and in that picture would be hidden pictures of other things. You remember that? And I always got mad when someone had circled the hidden pictures before I got there. Well, there are 3 hidden things why Uzzah got struck down dead, okay? So, number 1, first reason is Uzzah wasn't a priest or a Levite. Only the priest and the Levites were to bring God into worship or bring God to the people. Only the priests and Levites could carry the ark. Uzzah was not a priest. For New Testament, all of us who know Jesus Christ, we are priests. See, a priest is someone who has access to God. In the Old Testament, only a few people had access to God. They were called priests and Levites. But under the New Testament, if you've given your heart to Jesus Christ and you're born again, do you all realize that you're priests? Don't let anyone tell you there's only a certain group of people that are priests. It is the priesthood of all believers. If you are born again, you are a priest. You are to bring Jesus into worship. When we come together, we bring Jesus. Where 2 or 3 are gathered, there Jesus is in our midst. We, the church, the born-again church, we're the ones who are to bring Jesus to the world. The unsaved are not called to bring Jesus to the world, only priests. Number two, Uzzah obviously didn't read his Bible. And it's too bad because the Bible wasn't that big back then. Okay? Do you realize, look, this is how big it was. It was only this. It wasn't this yet. Okay? So, but he didn't read his, and he obviously didn't go to church. So I'm kidding. It would have been synagogue or something. But he obviously didn't listen. Because what should Uzzah have known? Don't touch the ark. Okay, there's all kinds of, you know, warnings in the Old Testament. Don't touch the different furnishings. So concerning the ark, but they must not touch the holy things or they will die. In fact, God said on the ark, you notice it with the handles on the ark, God said, leave those handles in place. Don't take those poles out because I want everyone to remember only handle the throne of God with all of its power by the poles. Don't touch the ark. Uzzah obviously didn't read the Bible, was sleeping in church that Sunday. And so he touched the ark. Now you might say, that's terrible. I've never heard of anything so horrible. Oh yeah? Let me give you some thoughts. Don't take a screwdriver and stick it into your electric main box. Okay? Do you know that could be a mistake? Do not take your fork and stick it in the toaster to get the bread out. All right. Mistake number three that Uzzah made. So number one, he wasn't a priest. He shouldn't have been handling the ark. Number two, he shouldn't have touched the ark. And number three, they were bringing the ark on a cart. What's the problem with that? That wasn't the proper way to bring the ark. They never brought the ark on a cart in the past. Where did they get the idea to transport the ark on a cart? From the Philistines. They're the first ones that did that, but they were ungodly. They were sending the ark back. So they put it on a cart and sent it back. And all of a sudden the Israelites are like, hey, maybe that's a good idea. That's how the world did it. Maybe that's how we should do it. But that's not the way God said to do it. You know, we need to be very careful as a church that we don't try to present Jesus Christ on the cart of the world. We are to present Jesus Christ according to the word of God. And not by worldly carts. I'll give you some examples. I'm not going to get myself into trouble here. Sometimes Christian musicians will take secular music that was written for Satan, the flesh, and the world, and they'll get rid of the words of the Beatles song or Meatloaf or something, and they'll get rid of the words, and they'll take the music and then put Christian words to the secular music. And they go, oh, this is so good to worship God. Because everyone will love and know the secular music that's being played, but we put Christian words with it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm like, don't you think God can put Christian music to his Christian words? Do we have to use the cart of the world's music to bring the Jesus in worship to the people? I don't know. I'll give you another example. A Christian denomination needed ministers, so they advertised in Playboy magazine for people to be called, that were called to ministry, to come to them. And believe it or not, they got a huge response. It was a very successful advertisement in Playboy magazine. And just think about this. All these ministers that came out of Playboy magazine, they would all have a defect right from day one. What would it be? Sexual immorality and lust. And by the way, if you're not sure why that's wrong, see me afterwards, okay? So I have to wonder, does God really have to use the cart of Playboy magazine in order to call people into ministry? I don't think so. I better stop there. I just think sometimes you got to be careful. Just because the world does it, Doesn't mean that's how the church should do it. So the question is, how are you supposed to bring the ark? So don't lose 2 Samuel chapter 6. Put your Bible ribbon, your bulletin, your whatever you have in 2 Samuel 6 and turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 13. 1 Chronicles 13. So it's 2 Samuel. The next two books is 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and then you come to 1 Chronicles. So come to 1 Chronicles 13. I just want you to know this is a parallel, we call it a parallel passage, in that it's someone else who's writing about the same situation, the same bringing the ark to Jerusalem. So in 1 Chronicles 13, you probably have a heading, bringing back the ark. It's the same time period. So in verse 5, David gets all the people together to bring the ark back. You'll see in verse 7, Uzzah and, I better call his name, Ahio, because I'll see him in heaven. I'll be in trouble. But you'll see there's Uzzah and Ahio bringing the ark back, and they're celebrating. In verse 10, Uzzah gets killed by touching the ark. So they take the ark and they send him to Obed-Edom. So come to chapter 15. So David decides he's going to bring the ark back now after he hears about the blessing on Obed-Edom. And so starting in verse 11 of 1 Chronicles 15, verse 11. Then David summoned Zadok and Abiathar the priest, and Uriel, Asaiah, Joel, Shemaiah, Eliah, and Abinadab, the Levites. He said to them, "You are the heads of the Levitical families. You and your fellow Levites are to consecrate yourselves and bring up the ark of the Lord, the God of Israel, to the place I have prepared for it. It was because you, the Levites, did not bring it up the first time that the Lord our God broke out in anger against us. We did not inquire of him about how to do it in the prescribed way. So the priests and Levites consecrated themselves in order to bring up the ark of the Lord, the God of Israel. And the Levites carried the ark of God with the poles on their shoulders as Moses had commanded in accordance with the word of the Lord." It's always sad when the lay people have to rebuke the ministers for not following the Bible. I just wish every liberal denomination out there that there would be strong lay people who would go to their ministers and say, "You're not following the Bible. You're not teaching the truth of the Bible." And then we wouldn't be putting up with all these ministers who don't even know the Word of God. But here's David. He's not a priest, and he has to rebuke the ministers. "You knew better. You're the ones that should have brought up the ark. And that's why God struck someone dead, because you didn't do your job." What's the proper way to bring the ark? With the priests, and how? On their shoulders. The proper way to bring God into the worship service, into the world, is on our shoulders. That's the right way to bring Jesus to the world, is to lift him up. Like a hero from some battle, all the people put that hero up on their shoulders and they carry that hero. That's the proper way. The proper way to bring Jesus is by the praises and by lifting Jesus up. Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, "I want men everywhere to what? Lift up holy hands in prayer without anger and disputing." That's how we bring Jesus to church. By praising him, by lifting him up, by worship, not on a cart of equal, like he's just one of us, equal. No, we bring Jesus by lifting him up. And it's personal. We don't bring Jesus on a cart. It's we bring him by us. We're the believers bring Jesus to the lost. The believers bring Jesus into to church. All right, back to 2 Samuel, chapter 6. So when Uzzah gets killed, I know this is interesting. David says, I mean, he's like, oh, man, I don't want to deal with God. 100 years ago, he killed 50,000. 70, he now kills Uzzah. We got to get rid of this ark. Who lives there? It's a Gittite. It's a Gentile. Give him the ark. We can't deal with him. Park the ark over there with Obed-Edom, a Gittite, a Gentile. It's like the Jews reject God. But all of a sudden, this Gentile gets blessed by the presence of God in his home. So much that the blessing, they hear about the blessing, verse 12. Now David was told, the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God. And so David gets jealous and envious. Whoa, wait a second. He's being blessed. We need to, let's go get that ark for ourselves. Some believe, by the way, this is very prophetic, that the Jews have rejected Jesus Christ. And because the Jews rejected Jesus Christ, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ has gone to the Gentiles. We didn't even realize it would come to us. Just like Obed-Edom, he's a Gittite, he's a Gentile, he's a nobody. And all of a sudden, here comes God to his home, and he's blessed. That's the same thing with us. The Jews have rejected Christ, the gospel has come to the Gentiles, and Romans chapter 11 says, we are to make the Jews envious that we have the blessing of God in our lives, and then the Jews will eventually turn back to Jesus when they see how much God blesses us. And that's what happens with David. He's like, whoa, look at the blessing on that Gentile. Hey, let's go get that ark. Oh, by the way, later on in 2 Chronicles, David makes Edom Obed, even though he's a Gentile, a gatekeeper at the temple over the ark. So David is going to worship the Lord. And here's his kingly robes. Back in 1 Chronicles, David takes off his kingly robes and is dressed, I mean, you can call it his undergarments, his underwear. Some people show him like almost totally naked, but in fact, his undergarment could have looked like this. So it doesn't mean, some people are like, oh, he was so disgraceful, he had this short little, you know, diaper on and whatever. But actually, it could have been this as well. He disrobed. He took off his kingly robe and he's in his undergarments. And that's when his wife, she sees him in verse 16 there. She sees him dancing and leaping and singing, and she just despises him in her heart. And then when he comes home in verse 20, she says to him, oh, you really distinguish yourself by disrobing, taking off your king outfit into your underwear in front of everyone else. You look just like a slave. You look like a commoner, like any vulgar person would look. But you see, David understood something. David understood that when you're going to worship God, you need to disrobe all of your own robes of honor and pride and whatever you have. David's like, you know, when you worship God, he gets all the honor. If I wear my kingly robe, then the other people will give me some honor as the king and some honor to God. Maybe I'll get 10% of the honor and God will get 90% of the honor. But you see, when we worship God, when he is in church, God wants 100% of the honor. In Revelation, he says he gets all honor, all glory, all praise, all wealth, all wisdom. It's all. So I know in the army will give out medals, and you know, soldiers will have uniforms and they'll have all those kind of badges and stuff. But I was thinking, you know, the proper way for a soldier to worship God when he goes to church, the proper way for a soldier to worship God is to take off his uniform before he goes in. Because you see, when a soldier goes into a worship service and says to people, hey, take a look. I got shot in the leg. And I got, I helped save. That's how I got this medal. You're taking some honor. But in church, all honor should go to God. None of it to any of us. It's the same truth in Revelation. Do you know that Jesus gives out crowns to believers for different things as rewards? So some of us, there's at least five crowns that are mentioned in the New Testament that believers get. Maybe there's hundreds of crowns, but for sure there's five. Maybe Jesus will give medals, just like in the army and all. But here's what I know. When we get together for worship, guess what the Bible says we do with the crowns? We take them off and we put them at the feet of Jesus. Now, I don't believe that we put the crowns there permanently. I believe after we're done the worship service, because it says, if you read it in Revelation, every time they go to worship, they put their crowns down. Well, that means you have to take it back up until next week when you're worshiping. And then when you go into worship service in heaven, you take your crowns and your medals off and your robes of kingship. Because when you're worshiping God, He gets all the honor and glory and praise. None of it should be, well, take a look at me. Look at me. I got a crown. I got a medal. No. And you'll know in heaven, by the way, everyone's dressed in white when they worship God. We're all the same. We're all the same. Mikkel represents, to me, dignified worship. She's like, ugh, you're so undignified. There's denominations that are trying to be dignified to the world. And they compromise all their theology so that they can be dignified to the world and be accepted by the world. They actually hate true worship. You will never find them dancing and raising their hand and praising God, because that's not dignified worship. Dignified worship is, you know, we're all special and we're not going to follow the scriptures. It says, the last verse in that chapter says, Mikkel had no children till she died. All these denominations and churches that want to be dignified, they don't have any spiritual children. People don't come to Jesus Christ as their Savior for the most part. In the churches that want to be dignified in the world and are into their own pride and self-honoring. I feel bad. I've shared this before. Listen, if you're single, you want to marry someone who loves God as much as you do. This is David and his wife. It should have been a duet. Instead, it was a duel. She despises. If you marry someone who doesn't love the Lord, they're going to despise you. They're not going to like it when you go to church, when you're fanatical for Jesus, when you want to listen to Christian music, and they're going to despise you. They're not going to. Why marry someone who isn't in love with Jesus as much as you are? Otherwise, you're going to have this horrible, divided marriage. Now, I give David all the credit. His wife's like, I don't like your, you know, this worship you're doing. But David does say to his wife, I am going to worship God. I am going to go to church. I'm going to honor Him. I'm going to worship Him. I know you're not going to like it, but that's what I'm going to do anyway. But it's sad. It's a sad marriage where both people aren't really in love with God. Father, Lord, I pray that we would not be like Uzzah, who represents the people who don't read the Bible, think they can worship God any way they want. Help us not to be irreverent towards the Word of God and your instructions. And Lord, help us not to be Mikkel, who despises true worship and praise. Lord, we want to be King David. We want to take off our kingly robes, and we want to dance and leap and lift up the name of Jesus. Help us to be excited about the Lord, because that's what's attractive to a lost and dying world. Help, Lord, help our church to carry Jesus on our shoulders into worship and out into the world, to let people see that magnificent God that we serve. In your name we pray. Amen.